2026 U.S. Federal Student Loan Overhaul. Limits, repayment, and Pell Grants. Beginning July 1, 2026, new Grad PLUS loans will generally be eliminated, and annual and cumulative limits for graduate students and Parent PLUS loans will be tightened. This guide also explains the new RAP repayment plan, changes to Pell Grant eligibility, transition rules for existing borrowers, and how to appeal a financial aid decision. New Grad PLUS loans for graduate students will generally be unavailable for academic periods beginning on or after July 1, 2026. Graduate programs will be subject to limits of $20,500 annually and $100,000 cumulatively, while certain professional degree programs will have limits of $50,000 annually and $200,000 cumulatively. Parent PLUS will be limited to $20,000 annually and $65,000 cumulatively per student, and dividing borrowing between parents cannot increase the per student limit. RAP determines payments based on income, but generally does not apply to Parent PLUS, while standard repayment uses a term of 10 to 25 years depending on the balance. If federal limits create a tuition funding gap, you can ask the school's financial aid office to review changes in income, adjust the cost of attendance, or reconsider institutional aid. On July 1, 2026, federal student loan limits and repayment systems in the United States changed significantly. In particular, graduate and professional students taking out new loans beginning with the fall 2026 semester, as well as families using Parent PLUS, may find it difficult to continue using their existing student financing plans. The information below describes the common standards under federal rules. Actual loan amounts vary depending on program classification, existing loan balances, enrollment status, cost of attendance, and other financial aid, so students should review both their school's official financial aid notice and their student aid GOV account. Who is directly affected by the 2026 changes? The key criterion is not simply the loan application or disbursement date, but whether the loan applies to an academic period beginning on or after July 1, 2026. The groups most directly affected include students entering graduate or professional degree programs beginning in the fall 2026 semester, graduate students who plan to cover tuition and living expenses with Grad PLUS parents using Parent PLUS for the first time on or after July 1, 2026 students. With existing loans, who also need to take out new federal loans borrowers, who want to select an income-driven repayment plan or change an existing repayment plan, undergraduate students receiving both Pell Grants and outside scholarships for the 2026-27 academic year, the standard direct subsidized loan and direct unsubsidized loan system for undergraduate students has not been eliminated altogether. The biggest changes in this overhaul concern graduate and professional degree loans, Parent PLUS, and the simplification of repayment plans. Elimination of Grad PLUS and graduate loan limits under the new loan system, applying on or after July 1, 2026, new Grad PLUS loans are generally eliminated for graduate and professional degree students. As a result, students generally can no longer use Grad PLUS to cover the full cost of attendance established by their school. Instead, the following limits apply to direct unsubsidized loans. Category annual limit, aggregate limit for the program general graduate programs $20,500 $100,000 professional degree programs recognized under statutes and federal regulations $50,000 $200,000 $1,257 $500 lifetime aggregate limit also applies to all federal student loans, excluding Parent PLUS. If a student has previously received federal loans, the remaining borrowing capacity under the new limit may be reduced. Professional degree status must be confirmed with the school. Not every program described as medicine, dentistry, law, or a similar field automatically qualifies for the $50,000 annual limit. The applicable standard is the professional degree program classification established under federal regulations and the information reported by the school. Rather than relying solely on the program's name, students should confirm the following with the financial aid office: whether the program is classified as a professional degree program under federal loan regulations, the remaining aggregate limit after accounting for existing undergraduate and graduate loans, the actual direct unsubsidized loan amount available for the 2026-27 academic year, the school's calculated cost of attendance, including tuition, insurance, practicum fees, and living expenses, new Parent PLUS limits, and transition rules Parent PLUS loans, subject to the new rules on or after July 1, 2026, are limited to $20,000 annually and $65,000 in aggregate per dependent undergraduate student. These are per student limits. The total limit for the same student does not increase even if two parents apply separately or submit multiple applications. A school may further reduce the actual amount available after considering the student's other financial aid and cost of attendance. Transition rules for existing borrowers. Limited transition rules may apply to students and families if the student was enrolled in the applicable program through June 30, 2026, and had already received an eligible federal loan for that program before July 1, 2026. In general, the protected period is based on the shorter of the following: the remaining normal period of study needed to complete the program up to 3 academic years. The transition rules do not provide indefinite protection. Eligibility may vary based on a program change, an extended leave of absence, the timing of re-enrollment, or a change in the student's enrollment status. Existing Grad PLUS or Parent PLUS borrowers should ask their school to confirm in writing whether they are classified as eligible for the transition rules. Comparison of RAP and balance-based standard repayment. The 2026 changes simplify repayment options for new loans around the Repayment Assistance Plan, RAP, and standard repayment. Existing borrowers may continue using previous plans for a certain period, depending on when their loans were originated and the loan type, but some existing income-driven repayment plans may be phased out or subject to conversion. Item RAP balance-based standard repayment basis. For monthly payment, adjusted gross income and number of dependents loan balance, interest rate, and repayment term basic structure applicable percentage rises as income increases principal and interest repaid over a fixed period minimum monthly. Payment generally $10, calculated based on balance and interest rate. Interest protection. For some interest not covered by the calculated payment, borrower generally pays accrued interest principal reduction assistance structure, providing up to $50 per month in principal reduction assistance under certain conditions. No separate income-driven principal assistance treatment of long-term balance. Remaining balance may be forgiven after 360 qualifying monthly payments designed for full repayment within the specified term. Parent PLUS, generally not eligible available RAP monthly. Payments are structured so that when adjusted gross income exceeds $10,000, the applicable percentage rises by income bracket from approximately 1% to as much as 10%, and an adjustment of $50 per month for each dependent may apply. However, because minimum payment rules apply, the calculated payment will not always be $0. Standard repayment differs from what is commonly called graduated repayment with interest-only payments. Its repayment term varies by loan balance as follows. Loan balance at start of repayment, standard repayment term $25,000 or less 10 years more than $25,000 and at most $50,000, 15 years more than $50,000 and at most $100,000, 20 years more than $100,000, 25 years RAP may reduce the initial monthly burden, but it may result in a longer repayment period. Standard repayment does not automatically adjust to a decline in income, but it may reduce principal more quickly and lower total interest. When choosing a plan, borrowers should compare not only the first monthly payment, but also the estimated total payments, repayment term, and potential income growth. Points of particular concern for Parent PLUS borrowers, Parent PLUS loans, and some consolidation loans created to repay them are not eligible for RRAP. Whether existing Parent PLUS borrowers can use prior income-driven repayment options or consolidation procedures depends on the loan origination date and consolidation history. Using private refinancing to repay federal loans may cause borrowers to lose federal rights such as federal repayment plans, deferment and forbearance, death and disability discharge, and public service loan forgiveness. Borrowers should compare the value of these federal rights before switching solely because a private loan offers a lower interest rate. Changes to Pell Grant eligibility for the 2026-27 academic year, beginning with the 2026-27 academic year. Some students may be unable to receive Pell Grants due to new statutory exclusions, even if they demonstrate financial need on the FAFSA. The main changes are as follows. Students may be excluded from Pell Grant eligibility if their Student Aid Index, or SAI, is at least twice the maximum Pell Grant award for that year. Students cannot receive a Pell Grant, in addition to non-federal grants and scholarships, if those funds are at least the school-recognized total cost of attendance. An increase in scholarships does not always reduce a Pell Grant by the same amount under a simple formula. But the eligibility exclusion may apply when scholarships cover the full cost of attendance. Workforce Pell may apply to eligible short-term workforce training programs, but not every short-term certificate program automatically qualifies. Cost of attendance does not mean tuition alone. It may include school-recognized housing, food, books, transportation, and certain personal expenses. Therefore, receiving a scholarship that covers full tuition does not necessarily mean that a student will lose the Pell Grant. The school's total calculated cost of attendance must be compared with the total amount of non-federal scholarships. When there is a gap between aid and tuition, schools cannot approve amounts exceeding the new federal loan limits at their discretion. However, a school's financial aid office may review whether the student's actual circumstances are adequately reflected in the FAFSA or the standard cost of attendance. 1. Financial aid appeal based on special circumstances if household circumstances have changed significantly since the base year used on the FAFSA. A student may request a professional judgment review. Examples of grounds for an appeal include job loss, leave from work, or reduced working hours for the student or parent one-time income, causing FAFSA income to appear higher than usual, divorce, separation, or the death of a spouse, high out-of-pocket medical expenses, a disaster, or another. Significant change in income that can be documented a school's acceptance of an appeal does not guarantee additional aid. The process recalculates the SAI and financial aid package using the updated information. 2. Requesting a cost of attendance adjustment if required education-related expenses exceed the standard cost of attendance. A student may request a budget adjustment. Eligibility is determined under school policy and federal regulations. A required computer or educational equipment transportation, expenses for commuting, clinical practicums, or fieldwork dependent care expenses, disability-related educational expenses costs required for professional certification examinations or licensure reasonable housing expenses that substantially exceed the school's estimate and adjustment to the cost of attendance does not increase statutory federal loan limits. However, it may create room in the calculation for institutional scholarships, work study, or certain other forms of assistance. 3. Reviewing institutional aid and payment alternatives, students may also ask the financial aid office whether the following options are available. Reconsideration of institutional scholarships or emergency grants, teaching assistantships, research assistantships, or federal work-study opportunities. Semester-based installment payment plans cost changes resulting from deferring admission or adjusting the number of credits scholarship waiting lists by department or college private student loans may involve credit checks, cosigners, variable interest rates, and limited repayment protections. Rather than immediately filling a federal loan gap with private loans, students should first compare the total cost and risks. Steps to take for the fall 2026 semester check the types and balances of existing federal loans for the student and parents on student aid. Gov. Ask the school for the program classification, new limits, and remaining limits after accounting for existing loans. Existing borrowers should confirm whether they qualify for the Grad Plus or Parent Plus transition rules. Review the relationship among the Pell Grant, outside scholarships, and cost of attendance in the latest financial aid notice. If income has declined or required educational expenses have increased, ask the school about appeal deadlines and the list of required documents. Compare RAP and standard repayment monthly payments and total payments based on expected debt and income at graduation. If a funding gap remains, review institutional aid, work study, and installment payments before deciding whether to use private loans. Documents and questions to review preparing the following materials before contacting the financial aid office may reduce processing time. The 2026-27 FAFSA submission confirmation and latest financial aid notice balances by loan type shown on student aid. Gov records of loan disbursements for the applicable program before July 1, 2026, a detailed breakdown of the school's cost of attendance, outside scholarship, and institutional grant notices documentation of job loss, reduced income, medical expenses, or additional educational expenses, students should ask the school the following specific questions. Does my program qualify for the general graduate loan limit or the professional degree loan limit? What is my remaining federal loan limit for the 2026-27 academic year after accounting for existing loans? Am I protected under the 2026 transition rules? How were my Pell Grant or other forms of aid adjusted because of outside scholarships? What are the deadlines and required documents for a special circumstances appeal and cost of attendance adjustment? Federal rules are uniform, but the final aid package varies according to each school's cost of attendance and institutional resources. Reviewing these matters before the tuition bill is issued provides time to pursue an appeal, arrange installment payments, or adjust enrollment plans.